The Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 8. After Peter confesses his belief that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus tells his disciples for the first time what is to come. Peter's response indicates that he does not yet understand the way of the cross that Jesus will travel. I begin reading at verse 31. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes into the glory of the Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Parents and teachers relish in that moment of teaching where the child or where the student gets it, where that little light bulb comes on over their heads and you can just see it in their faces that, yes, they understand and they want to learn more. If we back up just a little bit from our gospel reading here for the few verses ahead of this, Jesus is on his way. He's there with his disciples. And he asks them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter gets it right. That little light bulb comes on over his head and he says, "You are the Messiah." Peter gets it right. And so Jesus continues on teaching. He sees that they are in that mode, that they're ready to learn. They're interested. They're open. And he starts to tell them that he must go to Jerusalem, that he will be rejected, that he will be tried, he will be humiliated, that he will suffer many things, and that he will be killed. But in 3 days, he will rise again. Peter doesn't understand. And he says, "No, Lord, we're not going to let you do this. What does all this suffering and humiliation and pain have to do with being the Messiah?" Peter didn't understand. He didn't catch on to what that cross was going to mean for the whole world. It's a matter of perception, I guess, or a matter of what do you think a person should be. Peter had that conception that the Messiah maybe should be just a great leader, a ruler, maybe a military conqueror. But Jesus had other ways of being the Messiah. And for us too, it's hard for us to realize that cross is not just a piece of jewelry. Or it's not just a beautiful carving of wood. Or it's not just a chunk of brass sitting on the altar. The cross has true meaning. And the meaning in that day and time was death. It was pain. It was suffering. The cross was a very cruel symbol. For us, it has changed, though, because of the work of Jesus Christ. Martin Luther talked about the difference between theology of glory and a theology of the cross. Rather than just seeing God in the beauty of creation, or in his majesty, or in his work of miracles and his help, rather than seeing God in those glorious things. Martin Luther was said, God is actually found in what is hidden. It is found in that gruel and cruel cross, where people wouldn't expect that you would see God's glory, or God's power, his might, his work, is actually in that cross. Something in that rejection, in that humility. Stop and think about it for a minute. Here, God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, who has all power, all might, all sight, is able to see anything, do anything, hear anything, know anything, humbles himself and becomes one of us. He walks here on this earth. He is willing to hand himself over to his enemies. He is willing to undergo the suffering, the pain, and the death. The humiliation of it all. He's willing to suffer that. And that is where we see the true God. We see how much God truly does care. That God really wants to be a part of our lives. He sees what we need, and he gives himself in that cross. It's hard to think about that. It's hard to want to be a Christian even if you know that you may suffer. It's much easier to preach that glory end of it. It's easier to believe in that glory end of it. You know, what we want out of religion, out of church, is to feel great, to know that we are loved and that we are cared for, and that if we pray hard enough, we'll get the things that we want. That, you pray hard enough and we'll be healed. Or we'll have that good health. We expect the good things out of life because we are faithful. We expect to have good families, to have smart children, to have well-behaved children, to live the good life, to be comfortable in life. And if we pray hard enough, we'll get things like the right parking space. That's a theology of glory. And if you listen to many of the TV preachers, a lot of times that is what they're preaching. Believe in God and you'll live the good life. But rather, here in our gospel lesson, we see just the other end of that. No, that is not the promise. If you want to be one of my followers, take up your cross and all that stands for, that humiliation, that suffering, that pain. Give up of yourself. If you want to gain your life, give it away. That's the only way. And that's so much different from that theology of the glory. In Africa, churches are booming. Part of it is because they take this to heart. In Ethiopia, for example, several years back, the Christian church there was being persecuted by the government. Soldiers would actually come in to worship and intimidate the worshipers in church. But the church was booming. They were willing to suffer that humiliation or suffer those scare tactics. And when the regime changed, some of that intimidation also dropped off. And church leaders were actually worried that the church was going to get soft, that it would get lax. And so they were very intentional about doing the things to help uplift people and help bring about faith. They continued to make sure that good theology was taught, that sermons were preached in a way that people could understand, but yet were highly effective. They did social ministry as far as building new schools, helping to care for people or hospitals, and trying to bring in clinics through the church to help the people. But the leaders were still worried that the church members would get soft, so they very intentionally said, we are going to teach our disciples, our members, to be disciples. every Christian who comes to church needs to know how to talk about Christ. Each person who comes needs to be able to spread that message of the gospel. And they were very intentional that. And the church continued to grow even after the persecution left off. Now persecution has returned once again to churches in Africa. The Muslims many times are persecuting the Christians. Some churches have been burned. Christians have been intimidated. I don't know if last night some of y'all came and you noticed some of the other clergy were here with Sarah's ordination. John Conrad was one of those clergy that were here. John is the pastor in Floresville at the Lutheran Church there in Floresville, and he has recently just returned from Africa. He took several of his members over there, and they had been sponsoring some water projects over there like we were, and they wanted to go see, and they also wanted to minister to the folks over there and just see the excitement of their Christian church too. They also brought Bibles with them, and I know some of you also helped to contribute to their Bible project. And they brought the Bibles over there to Ethiopia. One of the places that they went to was the village where they had sponsored a water project. And it was an all-Muslim village, or just almost completely a Muslim village. And they didn't know what to expect when they went over there. But when they went over there, they were warmly welcomed. The leaders came out of the village, came to them and welcomed them in and showed them around. And I think they fed them one day. They showed them the projects and were grateful for what they could do. What's happening over there in Ethiopia is even though Christians are being persecuted, they're still turning around and giving of themselves. They continue to bring in those projects that say that God is here. God is in our midst. God is present. And we want to help. And that's not happening from the Muslim faith. It's happening from the Christian faith. And so it is an opening. And people are curious then. The Muslim people are curious. What do they have? What have they got that we don't have? What is it that makes them tick? Why do they want to help us? We're their enemies. And it opens up conversation. It opens up that opportunity, again, for those teaching moments as Jesus had with his disciples. It opens that up. Even though those Christians know that they will probably be persecuted, or it's very easy to be persecuted when many people are radical, they're still willing to give themselves. In other places in the world, it's not so easy. You've heard the news stories where Christians are being hunted down and they are being executed. When Christ calls us to take up that cross and follow him, to give our life, to lose our life in order to gain it, he's not telling us you have to be a martyr. You don't have to suffer. But you do need to be willing to do that. He's not calling us into pain. He is calling us to follow him. And we do not always know what that means to follow. We don't always know where he is leading us. Christ calls us to take up our cross and follow him. And he said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." Amen. May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his faith. Amen.